When it comes to your stand-up material, I mean, is that what you rely upon, that type of autobiographical information, that you just look at your life like that?
Absolutely. I think the comics that I admire most, Richard Pryor, George Carlin, and Bill Cosby, and Bob Newhart, these are guys that wrote about life experiences and what was happening in their life. I've never been a technician. There's guys that can be technicians. They can sit down and be in front of a computer and write some really funny stuff about the airport. And that's a gift in itself. My process has always been, I kind of get an idea, write it on a cocktail napkin, take it up on stage and kind of work it into a story that's funny in between with a big payoff at the end. And then I remember how to say it again and again and again. And the way you never run out of ideas doing that, and I think there's a more level of honesty there, is that you write about what's actually happening in your life. Therefore, you never run out of material. And if you run out of material and not anything to write about, then it makes you kind of go do stuff.
Now, what about then the difference in terms of process? You use that word from stand-up to sitcom. I would have to think it's dramatically different.
Yeah, stand-up is about pulling your sword out and trying to win the battle. Like, this is what I think. I'm going to get you to laugh at what I think. So it's a very alpha position. In acting, I've had to really learn, and I thank God I have a great cast, and I've got to work with a great director, Jimmy Burrows, and our creator, Mark Roberts, who writes these, because our show isn't the normal sitcom. It's not snarky, end the show. There's actually some real moments, some awkward moments, some scared moments, some loving moments. And in order to play those things, you have to open up. So you go from that alpha to the omega, and you have to let people see you think and see you feel. So it's more intimate.
I'm curious, though, about your influence then on your character, how those lines are developed. What about that? Do you have some input in that regard that gives some feel to it, or are you just following the direction?
You know what? I wish I could take credit for that, but I cannot, man. Mark Roberts, who created our show, is a Chicago playwright, and I don't have to change any of my words. If a joke's not working, they fix it. And the art that they write for my character every week is just, it's spectacular.
Now, where are you originally from, Billy?
Originally Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That's what I thought. So you're you must be a big Steelers fan.
Diehard, absolute diehard. That's there's nothing else going on in my house on Sundays during football season except the Steelers.
And what about that experience? Do you bring that into play in your stand-up as well, the Pittsburgh experience?
Of course, absolutely. And that comes from the town I come from, which is a blue-collar town, which is, you know, don't take yourself too seriously. Don't fix if it ain't broke. Am I alone in the world? Work hard. Do it right the first time. You know, and don't be afraid to make the mistake, because you can't succeed until you learn how to fail.
That's a great thought right there.
That's a lost art form in today's society. You know, I've turned 40, so I can officially start becoming the guy when I was younger. You know, but there's a lot of truth to that. Old guys tell you that for a reason. They're right. You know, we live in a world now that is pay me first, I'll work later. And nothing of quality ever gets done that way.
You know, it's bright and early for you out there on the West Coast. Here at NPR, we've been following the doings in Washington today, the Supreme Court ruling on the Obama health care plan. Bright and early, you got any shtick for us? You got any thoughts on that, or you want to just abstain for now?
I've tried a red T-shirt, and I've tried a blue T-shirt, and I'm disgusted with all of them. That's what I've come to. I think at this point, I think Republican and Democrat is probably one of the greatest scams ever pulled off, so that we'll argue amongst each other while 12 guys in suits and ties eat some pizza in a back room and decide how they want to cut up this country. How's that feel?
That's well stated as well. You're on your game for so bright and early in the morning for you, before breakfast.
Well, listen, man, 8:30 out here is a luxury. That's like sleeping in. You know, I got a kid, but I ain't seen 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock since about 10 years ago. You know.
Yeah, I gotcha. And then you know, finally, just the idea that you're going to be the headliner here at the Lucy Fest. What about, first, I guess, Lucille Ball, her role in just the development of comedy as a real major cultural force in this society.
Absolutely, man. I think if you don't acknowledge that, you know, where you come from is who you are, then you don't really understand what it is you're doing anyway. And I Love Lucy was groundbreaking in a lot of ways. But one of the biggest ways, I think, the way this is just my opinion, is the fact that she was the main character and she broke the mold of the normal housewife you saw on television. And she was the one that caused the trouble and she was the one that stirred things up. And she was incredibly funny about it. And I think she was, they were groundbreaking that way. And you know, the traditional sitcoms are the ones, look, we're all just shadows of that. Anybody that comes on and tells you, well, we're inventing a new way of, no, you're not. You know, I was listening to an interview, ironically enough, on NPR, because it's the only radio I can listen to where I don't scream when I'm driving down the road. I was listening, there was an interview, I think it was with Santana, and he said, look, everybody has to play an E, but you can tell the difference between my E, Eric Clapton's E, and Pete Townsend's E. And that stuck with me and resonated because there's a lot of truth to that. There's only so many notes, but it's how you play your notes. And you have to really pay respect to the first people to play those notes. And I think I Love Lucy was in that category.
And then finally, just the idea that I'm sure you probably had options to appear elsewhere on that weekend, but you're going to be the headliner for the Lucy Fest. Just maybe thoughts about making that decision and coming down.
Well, no, you know what? I had nothing else going on that weekend. They planned this about a month ago. My manager asked them. I wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, to be on a sitcom, which I'm very proud of, and to honor a woman who kind of paved part of that way for the kind of sitcoms that I loved. I mean, I grew up on reruns. I Love Lucy, The Honeymooners, All in the Family. I mean, to be kind of a cousin to that family it's a big deal to me. So I'm very excited to do it.
Very cool. Well, we're looking forward to having you, and thanks very much for your time today, Billy.
Right on, man. Have a great day, Jay.
All right, we'll see you, man.